Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Mem Vav. Begin 6 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which we were discussing, one of the 18 different types of trephas that apply to an animal. So that the Mishnah had said that if there's a severing of the spinal cord, then that's going to be considering as a trepha. The Gemara discussed the parameters of that halacha, up until how far down do we consider this as the integral part of the spinal cord that would make the animal a non-viable animal. That Gemara continues, ba'ifa. What's the halacha now regarding the spinal cord of a bird? So here too, as we had previously by the animal, there's a machlekes. Rabbi Yana Omer, he says, it's until lamata min agafayim, until beneath the wings, that's to where the primary vitality and the strength of the spinal cord is of the bird. Beyond that is not so integral, that won't make it into a trepha. Now, Rish Lakish, he says, ad bein agafayim, until between the wings, and not more than that, not beneath, like the Tanna Kamma, like Rabbi Yanai, rather, until between the wings. Now, related to this machleg, is the Gemara brings that Omar Uli, he says, havakim le kamei de ben pazi, I was in front of ben pazi, v'aisu le kamei oif, and they brought in front of him a bird, to check regarding if the spinal cord was considered in its severing as a trepha. Ubadik ad ben agafayim, and he checked up until between the wings. Now, v'shalach le debein nasiya, then the house of the nasi, of the leaders of the Jewish people, they sent for him to come to them. V'kam v'asl, he got up and he went. Now, says Ula v'lo yedan, I don't know, im mishum de leitzarach lemivdik tfei, he left then when he got up to between the wings. Did he leave then because you don't have to check anymore? Is it because he held like Rish Lakish? Or imishum kavay nasi, or maybe it was just because of the honor he has to give to the house of the nasi, but maybe really he holds like Rubiana and you have to check a little bit further until beneath the wings. It's just that he got that call and he was summoned and therefore he left. Now the Gemara continues with the next trefa of our Mishnah, nitla hakavid v'chulu. If the liver is taken away and none of it is left, then that's going to be considered as a trefa. Now the Gemara makes an inference. The Mishnah says if none of the liver is left, then it's a trefa. It sounds like, but if something was left, then it's going to be kosher. Even if it's not the size of an olive, anything, whatever, however small it is. That the Gemara adds, but what's not, we learn in the next Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalet Aleph, when it talks about the inverse of our Mishnah of Elu Trefis, where it says Elu Ksheris, that these are things that are valid and not trefis. It says if Nitla covered, the liver was taken from the animal, v'nishtar him and the kezayis, and that the remains the size of an olive, ksheret's valid. So that seems to be a contradiction from our Mishnah, which says that it just has to have a little bit, not even the size of an olive. Some of you say, Lekash, it's not difficult. Why? Ha Reb Chiya, one Mishnah is like Reb Chiya, and Ha Reb Shem Barebi, the other Mishnah is like Reb Shem Barebi, which actually, according to two different interpretations, is Rashi. It will depend who's the Tan of which Mishnah. But we'll go with the first interpretation first, as the Gemara illustrates. Kihad Reb Chiya Zarkla, like by Reb Chiya, he would throw away an animal that didn't have at least an olive size of the liver left over, because he held, if it's less than his eyes, it's a trefa, which is like the next Mishnah. Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe Matfila, no, he would eat it. And that the reason why I use the terminology of matpul, because all their food they would eat, their meat, they would by dipping into vinegar or to some type of acidic type of a liquid, and therefore that's that we see is their machlekes, as in practice they did that. But Rashi says that doesn't like this interpretation, because regarding if we would be talking about if one held it was forbidden and one held it was permitted, then we wouldn't use terminologies of throwing away or dipping. We would use terminologies like trefa or kosher. So rather, Rashi says a different interpretation. He says, Reb Chiya, what he would do is the liver of every animal he would throw away. He wouldn't eat it, because he didn't consider it as a significant vital part of the animal. In contrast, Reb Shimon would eat the liver, because even though it's not meat, he would eat it because of health reasons, because the liver is something that the life of the animal is contingent on. And like the Gemara Brachas of Mdalam Abay says, that anything that's nefesh restores the nefesh. I mean, anything that is a part of an animal that is critical for its vitality, if a person eats it, it restores his vitality. As the Gemara said on the Flamed Gimel Amud Aleph, if someone wants to be healthy, he should cut a piece of the meat of the animal right when it's dying. Now, so therefore, if there's not the size of an olive for it to regenerate and to get better, that's what Reb Shimon Rebbe held, that it's going to be a trefa, because it needs to be a part of the animal that has vitality. In contrast, Reb Chiya did not require that it should be able to regenerate. It just needs a little bit, just that the part where it hangs by the gallbladder, which as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, it has to be near the area of the Mara, And to the contrary, it's Reb Chiya, that's like the Tana of our Mishnah, who holds you don't need to have the size of a zayis. Whereas Reb Shimon Rebbe, who he understood it as a vital part of the animal, he held for it to be considered significant, it has to have the size of a zayis. And if not, the animal is going to be considered as a trefa. Now, v'samanich, the mnemonic to recall this concept, is a shirin mekamtzin, is that the wealthy are stingy, meaning Reb Shimon Rebbe, the son of the Nasi, who was wealthy, he was mekamtz, meaning a terminology of being thrifty, he was the one that, again, according to either interpretation, he was the one that ate it, whether it means the animal or whether it means the liver, but he was the one that was more thrifty on this thing. And again, it's not a contradiction, it's actually machlekes, again, according to different interpretations in Rashi, which Mishnah is like Reb Chiya and which one is like Reb Shimon Rebbe. Now, the Gemara tells us, continue on this halacha, Ahu Pulmasa, there was these soldiers from the government, the Asla Pumbedisa, they came to Pumbedisa. Now, Arku Rabbi Rabbi Yisif, Rabbi Rabbi Yisif fled, and Pagu Bahu Reb Zeira encountered them, and Amalu, he said to them, Arukai, the you who are running away, meaning learn from me this halacha, Kezaya Shamru, an olive that they said, which we said that it requires an olive size to be considered a non-trefa, is Bemakim Mara, has to be in the area of where it's by the gallbladder. That part of the liver has to be the part that's still around. Now, Rav Adbar Avam, he says, no, it's b'makom shechaya. It has to be the place where the liver lives from, meaning the place where its vitality is from, which is where it's hanging when it's connected and attached right there beneath the kidneys. Or Rashi says, a different interpretations, it's where it's connected to the diaphragm. Now, Amar Papi says, therefore, because we have these two different interpretations, be'inon kizayis b'makam mara, we need to have that it has an olive-sized liver in the place of where the gallbladder is, and be'inon kizayis b'makam shichai, you also have to have an olive size of where it lives, again, whether it means beneath the kidneys or where it's attached to the diaphragm. Now, Boyer Birmi, he asks, mislaket mahu, what's the halacha if you have an olive-sized liver that's gathered together, if you gathered all the different places, a half olive size here, a half olive size here, but it's not in one place. So, ma, what's the halacha? Or kirtzua ma, what's the halacha if you have it like in a strip, but it's not like in one spot as normally is, like in a circle? Or Bar Rav Ashi says, kizayis merudud ma, what's the halacha if it's flattened out, which is worse than a strip? A strip has at least one place here, it's like flattened out. What's the halacha? Would that also be valid to be considered an olive size of the liver that is maintained and therefore it's not a treif? So it's going to take a little stand, it's not clear what the halacha is. He asked, Nidal lo kavin. Let's say the liver got detached in many places from where it's attached in the body, but a mu'ura bitar fesheha, but it's still attached to the diaphragm, meaning a little bit here, a little bit here. It's very tenuous, but the entire liver is still intact. Ma, what's halacha? So Amalei, so Rabami said back to him, I don't know this question you're asking regarding if it's loosened in its connection. If the one who says that you have to have at least an olive size in the place of where the gallbladder is, so there is, because the whole thing is intact. And if the one who says you have to have a gezayis from the place where it lives, you also have that because it's intact. So the fact that it's a little bit detached and it's a little bit just tenuously connected to the diaphragm, that's not going to make it any problems, and therefore that's for sure a kosher animal. Now the Mishnah continued and said, one of the 18 trefas is a reya shenikva. The lung is pierced if it has a hole. So Rav Shmuel, Rav Asi, the Amri, they all say, what does it mean that there's a hole? Is karmila, is even if the hole is just in the upper membrane. Now, Vamrila, but those that say, no, it's karmatata, the lower membrane. Now, Amr Rav Yisib, Amin Yumi, Amr Rav Nachman, says, v'samanech, and the mnemonic to recall this second version, is kituna de varda, a red cloak, which varda means a rose, the mancha beireya, where the lung is encased in. Now, we call it a rose because that lower membrane is red, like the Gemara shortly is going to say, kahina sumka, that without the upper membrane, it looks like a red date. So, on that, the second version says, if you want to remember the second version, it's like a red rose, it's like a red shirt, which is, that's the lower membrane, which the lung is encased in. Now, based on the second version, the Gemara says, Pshita, it's obvious as follows. If the upper membrane is pierced and not the second, not the lower one, then tata megin. Then the lower one, the lower casing will protect the lung and therefore it's not a treva. And the Gemara says, Kedirava, Dama Rava, that Rava said, Hai reya de iklid. This lung that was, the upper membrane was peeled and skinned, like Gludava Mishnah, where it's flayed, So then as Katin Tamid Beis, if it's Kahina Sumka, so now it's going to be like a red date because you only have the lower membrane, which, like we said, is red, like a red date, then Kasher, it's still going to be valid. However, the question is as follows. Inkiv Tato Avala Inkiv Ala. Let's say the low membrane has a hole, but the upper one doesn't. Megan or Loi Megan, will the upper membrane protect the lung or not? So Pligibar Ravach Ravina. It's a machlaikis. Chadam Loi Megan, one says it will not protect it, and it's a treifa. Vachadam Megan, the other one says it will protect it. It's not a treifa. Hilchus HaMegan says the Gemara, and the halacha is that it will protect it, and it's not a treifa. Like Rav Yosef, like we find from the following halacha of Rav Yosef. Now, Rav Yosef said, Hayreya da'avsha. This lung that's making noise, meaning when it inflates, it makes a noise like as if there's air escaping from the lung. So, iyadin hecha avsha, if we know where the sound is coming from, so mezvin Allah, so we put onto that place, God for either a feather, a reika, or a spittle, a gila, or some straw. Now you do as follows. I mevatvisa, if that spittle, when you inflate the lung, it's bubbling up. So then you know that there's obviously a hole where the air is coming out from. So therefore, a trefa. So then it's a trefa because there's a hole in the lung, which that's the halacha of our Mishnah, but that it's a trefa. Viloi, if it doesn't bubble up, then kshera. Then it's valid. Obviously, there's no hole that the ear is escaping from. Now, viloi yadin hecha avsha, but let's say you don't know where the sound is coming from. Sometimes you can't discern and differentiate and understand with your ear where the voice is, where the noise is coming from. So what you do is as follows. Maisina meschilta de maya pshur. You bring a pot of lukewarm water, mesvinala, and you put the whole lung, bigava, inside that water so that wherever there's a hole, it's going to bubble in the water. Now, b'chamimila, you don't use hot water, the kavtzi, because that actually will shrivel the lung, and actually the hole, even if there is one, will close up. So that's not a good inspection to see if it was a treifa or not. B'krivila, neither do you want to use cold water, the mitarshi, because that actually will harden the lung like a stone, and even if there is no hole in the upper membrane, but there is one in the lower membrane, what's going to happen is that the upper membrane is going to tear because it's now weakened, and the cold water is going to stretch it when it gets hard, and therefore it's going to make a hole. So that's not a good option either. El mesvina pipshuri, rather you put into lukewarm water, which will maintain it in the state that it is, v'nafchinla, and then we inflate the lung. Imevatzvasa trefa. If we see bubbling, then it's a trefa. Obviously it's bubbling out of some hole in the lung. V'yloik share, but if it's not bubbling, then it's kosher. Now, so then what's this noise? Tato inkiv, ilo lo inkiv. The idea is, and this is what we're talking about before, must be that the lower membrane has a hole, the upper membrane doesn't have a hole. The high option is that it's making that hissing sound, is zika de beni benihu. It's the wind that's coming out between the two of them, which is that there's some ear that's coming out from the lower membrane through the hole, but it can't escape because the upper membrane is megan, and that's what we're saying. We find from Rav Yosef the same idea, like that who holds that if the upper membrane is intact, it will protect it, so it can't escape. So the wind goes between the two membranes, and therefore it's making noise over there, and therefore it's going to be kosher, like we said, because if the upper membrane is intact, even if the lower one has a hole, it's not a trefa. Now, the Gemara brings an amani for the following teachings of Rava, Ahini Sumka, red date, the Yavish Gildi, that the scabs are dry, a simon is a mnemonic. So Gufa, we learned, the first one relating back to what we're talking about, Amar Rabbi said, Hai Reya, the Iglet, Kahinis Sumka, Kshera, a lung that was peeled like a red date, is kosher, like we said, meaning that means the outer layer was peeled, but the lower membrane is still there, and therefore that's still going to protect the lungs, and therefore it's not a trefa. Vama Rava, another teaching from Rava on this topic, is Reya Shehidima. The lung became red, which Rashi calls sankoitra, which is like bleeding in the tissues. So miktsas, if only part of it is red, then ksher, it's going to be valid. But kul, if all of it is red, then it's a trefa. However, on that, Omle Ravina Rava, Ravina asked to Rava, miktsas amaitama, what's the reason that you're saying that if only part of it has this bleeding in the tissues, it's going to be kasher? Because the hadubari, it's still going to regenerate, it's still going to get healthy again, it's not a sign of tarifas, a fatal flaw. But then kulanami hadribari, then the whole thing, even if it's red, should also become healthy again, and it shouldn't be a trefa. Because mile tanya, didn't we learn the braisa that says, ushar shkatsam ramasam, all other vermin and crawly creatures that are small, for example, like frogs and stuff like that, which they have soft skin, which the exception are, as we're going to shortly quote, the Shmaini Shratzim, the eight Shratzim, which they have a different halacha, which their skin is hard. Regarding the regular Shratzim, regular small bugs and vermin, there's no liability on Shabbos for having injured them until the blood actually leaves their body. Now, so what that means to tell us is that even though the blood has gathered together and came to the surface of their skin and their skin is red on the outside, that's not considered an injury. The reason is because since their skin is soft, it gets red very easy. You could see from beneath the surface very quickly. But however, it's going to get right back into the body, and therefore that's not considered a chavala of taking away the neshama, which is forbidden to do on Shabbos. So on that, the question is, here also, it also gets red very quickly. So why would you consider a problem that if the whole thing gets red, why would that say that it's considered that it's like as if you made a hole in the lungs? That's not necessarily the case. It's going to go right back in, just like you say by some of it, it's going to regenerate, goes right back, gets reabsorbed into the body. Then even the whole skin of the lung should be the same thing. Now, the chitim, and if you're going to say that no, the skin of the membrane of the lung is not like the skin of regular shratzim. And rather, l'shmayne shratzim adimin la, you compare it to the eight shratzim, which is brought in Perek Shmayne shratzim and Shabbos Tav Kuf Zayin Mabez. The Tanya, like we learned in the Braisa, that there the halacha is different. Nitzur hadam, if the blood bubbles up and gathers in one place, which is that beneath the skin, so the skin is red on the outside, there the halacha is ava pishalo yatsa. Even though the blood doesn't leave the body, still the Gemara there tells us that it's considered what's called a chabura wound, which is not going to get reabsorbed into the body. Why? Because since their hide has become red on the outside, so then you obviously know that the skin beneath that has torn, and it's ultimately going to make a hole and come out of the body, because it's not getting reabsorbed into the body. So that's what's considered making chavala on Shabbos. So here also, you want to say that the membrane of the lung is the same thing like real hide, which is like that of the Shmaini Shratzim. As the Gemara explains over there, that anything that has oyer, hide, it's going to be considered a wound if the blood bubbles up beneath the surface. Now, the thing is that those that don't have oyer is not considered a chavala by this bubbling up from the blood. But you want to say that the lung is like that. Well, then the question is the other way. So then even if some of it comes up, that also, why should that be kosher then? That's some of the blood that came up, it's not going to reabsorb. That means it's obviously going to puncture through the skin and it's going to be a hole in the membrane. So that also should make it treifa. So Eloishna rather says Ravina, not like Ravi says, there's obviously no difference. Whether all of it got red or only some of it got red, it's going to be kosher, as the Gemara says on the next daf, Mem Zayin Mabez, that Adu Makshera, like we find by Reb Nassan, that if it got red, it's still going to be kosher. Because like Ravina and Rabbi, it shouldn't be differentiated by all of it versus some of it. Either way you look at it, if you consider it like the Shmein Shratzim, then even some of it should be a problem. And if you look at it like all the other Shratzim, that means to say that when it gets red, it's not a problem because it's going to get reabsorbed, then even all of it should be kosher. Vama Rabbi, another teaching from Rabbi on these halachas. He says, Reya Sheyav Shemiktsasa Trefa. If part of a lung dried up, it's Trefa, it's not viable. And that is the Gemara Bekama. And how much is considered dried up? So Amar Papi Mishmei Rabbi says, Kedesha Tifach Bitziparin. That if it would crumble by a fingernail touching it, that's so dry that that's considered a Trefa. Says the Gemara Kaman. Who is that like? It seemingly is Kereb Yisi Ben Amashulam. The Tanya, which is actually a Mishnah Masechtas Bechairis, that says, Eza Hiyavesha, and there the Mishnah is discussing regarding the blemishes of a Bechair, a firstborn animal, which when it's tam, when it's unblemished, is brought as a carbon. When it's blemished, then it's not as a carbon. The Kohen could use it for his own. So the question is, if it's dried up, it's considered a blemish. On that, the Mishnah there says, what's considered dried? So it says, Shem Tinakiv Ve'ena Mitziya Tibes Dam. If you make a hole in the ear of the animal and no blood comes out, that's obviously dried up, and that would be considered a blemish. Rabbi Yisrael ben HaMishulamim, he says, no, even if blood doesn't come out, that would not be considered sufficiently dried up to be a mum. Until it's yavesh, it's so dry, that if you touch it with the fingernail, it would crumble. That's considered dry. So seemingly, when we're saying this halacha of Rava, it's going like Rabbi Yisrael ben HaMishulam. And that says the Gemara, no, afilotim rabban, you could even say it's like Rabbanan over there. Because kabi eisen bechar by the air of a firstborn animal, the kashalit bezika, which the wind and the air are have able to affect that wound, which it actually irritates a wound because the air is exposed, lohajabari. There, even if it's not going to crumble with the fingernail, even if it's a lesser one, just if blood doesn't come out, that's going to be so irritated that yes, it's going to be considered yevesha even with a lesser degree. But the lung, which is not exposed to the elements on the outside, to the air, it's an internal organ in the body, their hadrabari, there actually would regenerate, and therefore even the Rabban would agree to this interpretation of Rava, that it really has to be very dry to be considered yevesha, which is kadesh tefach b'tzipar. Vama Rava, another teaching from Rava. Hai reya dekaima gildi gildi, where there's a lung that has all these different layers of peels on the lung, which is like this crust, like Rashi says, like this scabs, like a wound, that are uchmi uchmi, that are black, chazusa chazusa, or some other colors on the lung, which Rashi points out has to be specifically the colors that would not make an animal trefa. For example, red or yellow, as the Gemara in the next daf is going to explain, there are certain colors that are siman of tarfas. But if it's just these scabs or these colors on the lung, then it's going to be valid. Another teaching, Oma Meimer Mishmei de Rava, the name of Rava, that e makifin bevui. Makifin means to say regarding bringing things near each other, which as we find such a terminology in Masechtas Beya regarding e makifin shtei chavis, we don't bring two barrels one next to each other. So, and bui, it means blisters. So what is this halacha that we don't bring blisters near each other? Is that if there's a blister on the lung, that popped, that has a hole in it. So if it's an area where the hand of the butcher doesn't get near, so you can't say that and find a tliya and say, oh, it probably happened through the butcher. You can't give that excuse. So now we don't know if this blister was popped before was slaughter or afterwards. If it was before, then it was a trefa, had a hole. If it was afterwards, then it wasn't a problem. So on that, Rav is telling us, you can't ascertain by bringing another blister right near that blister and to pop it and to see if those holes look the same, as the Gemara actually says that there's such an option on Daf Nun Numan Aleph regarding regular holes in the lung, because that's by the lung itself. But since there's a blister, there the appearance is not recognizable. Why? Because it continuously changes. And maybe it actually looked different and it changed, so it's not going to help to go bring a new blister and pop it and see if it's the same as this one to realize it was after Shechita or before Shechita, and therefore, if you have a pop blister, we have no way of checking it. You can't go bring another one to check it as we would by a regular hole in the lung, and therefore that's going to have to be considered out of doubt like a trefa. Vama Rava, another teaching of Rava is, Hani tarti uni desrichan lahadadi. Uni really means ear, as the ear of a person, but it also refers to the lobes of the lungs, which if they get attached, they cling to the other one. Less lubidika, so there's no way to check this out if this is going to be kosher, because this that the lobes of the lungs are sticking to each other must have been because there's a hole. And because the lung draws all the liquids of the body to it, so that liquid becomes thick inside the lungs, and then when there's a hole, it seeps out, and then it congeals and becomes like a hard layer, as Rashi brings from the Tshuva Sagoinim. So therefore, even though the hole has closed up and there's no ear that's coming out, but we said that when there's a scab that came onto a wound in the lungs, it's not a crime because it's going to end up coming apart. So therefore, this that they're attached together must have been that there's a hole. And therefore, even though they're connected, they're closed up now, but it's going to end up coming undone, and therefore that's actually going to be a trefa. Now, that says the Gemara, V'lo yamaran ela shleike sirjim, but he only said this if it's not in the order of the lobes. For example, if let's say the two outer lobes are attached because of this liquids, this mucus from the lungs, which is either goes over the middle ones or beneath the middle ones, and so since they're not near each other and they're attached, that's going to end up coming undone. And therefore, that's a trefa. Of a kesidron hainer v'sayu. But if it's actually in the order of the lobes, well, that's the normal growth that each one is going to protect on the other one, and it actually will regenerate because one is leaning on the other one, so it's not going to become undone. And therefore, actually, the scab will actually get stronger and stronger and actually will heal and actually is kosher. But what we're saying is when they're not in the order, this one's going to go this way, this one's going to go the other way, and then that scab is going to become undone, and therefore that's going to be a treifa, and says Rashi, that's the halacha, because no one disagrees on this halacha of Rava. Then Rashi goes through a lengthy discussion regarding what did we consider when we call the Aina, the Aini, which is the ears. There's another terminology we find in the Talmudic literature of the Ummah, which are the mothers, which are in the bottom, but that in the real lexicon, there's actually no difference, and that's the discussion regarding if there would be the same regarding the upper lobes and the lower lobes, if they're near each other, if there would be a simitarfus or not, and also regarding how do we define this halach of Rava, what's the reasoning why he considers that if it's near each other, that then it's not a treifa, versus but if they're not near each other, that then it is a treifa.